The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Neal Clinic Chiropractor.
My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I am a chiropractor as well as the owner of the Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. We're located over on Creighton Road, right across the street from the Walmart. I'm here this morning to talk about how chiropractic care could help you. And if you're tuned in and listening this morning and you've got a question that you want an answer to, you've always wanted to ask your chiropractor and just never thought of it, or maybe you're one of those patients that maybe has never even been to a chiropractor and you've been thinking about going, your neck's been bothering you, you've been having headaches, your back's been hurt or sore, text in those questions. Give us a call. Text in. What's that number they can call, Jake?
That's going to be 850-437-1620. Call or text.
Yeah, send us in those messages. I'll answer as many of those as I can get to this morning. It's always fun hearing from you guys out there listening about what you've been wondering about, what kind of questions you guys have. I'll answer those as they start rolling in. I've got it up on the screen. Jake's got me rolling this morning. I've got a few things I want to talk about, just things I've noticed in the clinic the last few weeks. And one of them is pretty common. I know I've talked about it on here before, but osteoarthritis, OA, the most common type of arthritis. We're going to get into that. I also want to talk a little bit about how to help your back this spring. It's getting warm out. We're going to have some longer days here soon. Everybody's going to be out spring cleaning in their yard, in their garage, if you haven't started already, like myself. You'll probably try and get out there this weekend, and we're going to go through a few tips and tricks that you can use this weekend to help make sure you don't end up in my office on Monday morning. All right, so osteoarthritis, what is this, and why is it so important for me to talk about today? I get this this question, and it's not even really a question. It's more of a statement. People will come into the clinic, and I'm back with them during their initial consultation, and they'll say, you know, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to help me. I went and saw my primary care doctor, and, you know, that they told me I have arthritis. And this is, you know, the reason I'm talking about this today. There was a 67-year-old female that was in the clinic yesterday that I was having this conversation with, and I just kind of had to laugh. Of course we're going to have arthritis. We're humans on planet Earth, right? We've got gravity that weighs down on us every single day, and we move. We've got these joints that are lined with cartilage, and with that pressure of gravity and the weight of our bodies every single day, they're going to wear out over time. And that's what this osteoarthritis is. It's this wear and tear type of arthritic change in our body that progresses naturally over time. Now, some people can have it significantly worse than others. And how does that happen? Where does it happen? That's the differences that, you know, cause some people to have a lot of pain versus some people have arthritis and they don't even know about it. But the big thing that I try and remind all these patients is, you know, they have days where their back or their neck may not be bothering. They have days where their knees don't really hurt. That doesn't mean that their arthritis is gone. They didn't fix or cure the arthritis. The only way to really get rid of arthritis altogether is a big invasive surgery or a joint replacement, something like that. You know, if you've got arthritis in your knee, the only way to actually get rid of it is that knee replacement. There's no, the chiropractic care doesn't get rid of it, but we treat the symptoms and manage the inflammation, which is one of the biggest irritants to that arthritic change. That's why, again, some days you have pain and some days you don't. The arthritis isn't changing day to day. It's that inflammatory response from that wear and tear on those joints that's causing the pain. Those nerves in and around your back get irritated with that inflammation, with that rubbing. And sometimes it's that you're moving improperly. That's what we call joint dysfunction. And that's one of the big ways that this stuff happens. So that's what we mean when, you know, I say it's I kind of laugh when people come in and they tell me they have arthritis. Well, how old are you, first of all? If you're over the age of about 30, 35, you're going to start to have arthritis. Everybody does. But again, you know, did you play football growing up? Were you in lots of car accidents? Have you fallen frequently? What did you do for work, right? If you were a yoga instructor versus a, you know, somebody that worked in construction, those two people are probably going to have significantly different arthritic changes over their life just based on what they do over time. And speaking of what we do over time, I want to talk for a minute about sitting and how sitting can actually cause some of these things. You know, we always hear sitting is the new smoking. What is actually bad about sitting? You know, I ask people that. Do you know why sitting is so bad? And a lot of times they don't really have a good understanding of what it is about the prolonged periods or prolonged sitting that is causing the problem. So that's one thing I want to touch on while we're going through this osteoarthritis. So when you sit for a long time, there's this predictable pattern of muscle tightness and muscle weakness that will occur that causes these changes over time. Again, it's not that you sat for one day for 10 hours and now you've got this lifelong problem. This is years and months and years of buildup to leading to these issues where your hip flexors, the muscles on the top of your leg, they become tight. And that's, again, that's because they're in this shortened position when we're sitting down, right? If you do that stretch where you kind of bring your heel back up by your rear end and you bend your knee and pull your leg back, that stretches your quads, right? The front of your leg. Well, the opposite of that motion is what we do when we sit. So those muscles are getting really, really tight. On your back, the muscles that run along your spine, those also begin to get tighter, and it contributes to this arching of your lower back. Now, the opposite is true for the muscles on the other side. So if the top of your thighs are getting really tight, the back of your legs, your glutes, your buttock muscles, and your hamstrings, they get pretty weak. And in the front of your stomach, your abdominal, your core muscles, they also become weak. And so it's this crossed pattern where the top of your legs and your spinal muscles on your back become really tight, and then the muscles in your abdominal and the rear of your legs become really weak, and it causes this change in posture that can really affect what your spine does and what your pelvis does. Now, this may not sound like a big deal. I got a few tight muscles. Big deal. So what? Well, over time, as this pattern continues, we're going to wear on those joints more and more because the muscles that should be providing stability and support for your spine are now either too weak or too tight, depending on which group we're talking about, to be able to give you that stability that you need and require. That's why some people have these issues where I had a patient come in about a month ago, and she was having excruciating pain coming down her left leg. She had really bad back pain. And as I was talking with her, I said, you know, how did this start? How did this happen? And she goes, I have no clue how this could have happened. All I did was I bent down, I dropped my keys, I bent down to pick them up, and this happened. You know, it wasn't something heavy. It wasn't that she was in the gym doing these crazy workouts. She just bent down to pick up her keys, and immediately when she tried to stand back up, she could barely get up. I mean, she went down to the ground. They had to help her get picked up. She went to the emergency room. She had no clue what had happened. But it wasn't that the keys were so heavy. You know, she's not a janitor with one of those huge key rings, right? It was just her car key. But it's because this pattern had played out over years and years. She was a desk worker, but she never really did anything to help stretch her legs and her hips out and strengthen her core muscles. So every day at work for the last 10 years, 8 hours a day, she was just sitting down in her desk doing her job and didn't really ever consider the effect that that was having on these joints in her spine. Our spine is this really dynamic structure. It's made up of 23 bones that are all connected with lots of different joints. There's these intervertebral discs that act as shock absorbers between each of the joint or each of the bones, the vertebral bones. There's muscles that line either side of your spine and ligaments that help connect everything. It's this dynamic structure that's meant to move, which is awesome. It allows us to bend and twist, and it houses our spinal cord and these nerve roots. It's one of the most fascinating structures in our body. And that's to, you know, compare it to something like our legs that are composed of these big, long bones. If your spine was just one really big, long bone, we would not be able to do the things that we do. We would be significantly less mobile. You know, you wouldn't be able to bend or twist. You couldn't move your neck. You'd have to turn all the way around to do those things, which is the big advantage of having our spine, you know, designed essentially the way it is. Mechanically, all those joints give us a lot of mobility. But in that same hand, we need to add some stability. And that's where those muscles and ligaments come into play. And you need to make sure that the muscles have enough strength and enough flexibility to move when they need to, but also to be strong when they need to. And that's what happened to this patient. Her muscles didn't have enough stability, and over time she had put so much pressure on those discs, those tissues that aren't designed to support our body for long amounts of time. She had just been using those predominantly throughout her days at work, and she had had this disc herniation that pressed on her lower back, and then it hit that nerve root. That's why she had that pain coming down her leg. A lot of people refer to this stuff as sciatic pain, but it can really press on any nerve in your back. And it's very uncomfortable. Sometimes it can feel numb. Sometimes it can feel tingling. There's a couple different sensations it can arise as. You know, I've heard people say it feels like a burning sensation or an achy muscle, like maybe they pulled a muscle or something, but they didn't do anything to necessarily pull a muscle down their leg. You know, they weren't sprinting. They weren't lifting anything heavy. Again, just their car keys. But that's some of the sensations that it will feel like. So when this stuff happens, what can we do? You know, what do we do when we have that patient that comes in with this sciatic-esque pain? How can we treat that? Or what can you do if you are having these, tightness in your back or your legs? What can you do before that becomes a problem? So let's talk about what we do when we get the patient that's got sciatica, that's got the pain traveling down their leg. Again, we talk about inflammation all the time on this show. And reducing your body's natural inflammatory response is the biggest thing that we start out doing. Because if I reduce that inflammation, the pain starts to decrease. That's why if you go to like the emergency room or an urgent care clinic, they'll give you an anti-inflammatory medication. They might give you a shot to decrease inflammation, like a steroid shot or one of those steroid dose packs where you're taking the 5 pills, the 4 pills, the 3 pills, just, you know, one day at a time, you slowly go down. Those are all designed to help reduce that inflammation in your body. The big advantage that chiropractic care has to taking oral medications is physical modalities like the laser therapy that we use or the electrical stimulation therapy and the manual tissue adjustments and things like that. We know where the problem is. That's where we work the therapies. We reduce local inflammation, and there's very little side effects with what we do at the clinic. Versus the medications off the shelf, over-the-counter things, or even the prescription medications have a lot of side effects. There's also no way for your body to specifically target where you apply that medication, right? It's the same pill you would take if you hurt your foot, you sprained an ankle, or you hit your thumb with a hammer. You'd take the same pill. There's no way for your body to tell it, hey, it's just my thumb that hurts, or hey, it's just my lower back. Use all that medicine right there. That's one of the things that cause some of these side effects is you have to get a dose big enough to get a good enough response. Whereas again, with chiropractic care, if it's your lower back that's bothering you, that's where we're going to focus all of these anti-inflammatory therapies. Things like that photobiomodulation effect from the class 4 laser that I talk about on here a lot. That's one of the best things we can do to help decrease your body's inflammatory response. They found that light is able to do lots of really cool things when applied to our bodies. Everybody kind of knows about some of the reactions that I'm talking about, like with vitamin D, right? Everybody's kind of heard that if you go outside in the sunlight, your body will produce vitamin D. That's your body using light energy from the sun. It absorbs it. There's a chemical reaction in our bodies, and we actually produce vitamin D, which is pretty cool, kind of similar to plants and photosynthesis, right? Plants are able to absorb this energy from sunlight in these chlorophyll cells, and they produce energy. Our bodies can do something similar. What they've discovered recently is that these different wavelengths of light, they can be really specific about how narrow we get these bands of light, and each one is able to produce something different in our body. They're coming out with all sorts of new things almost, you know, every month. There's some new study that I'll read that says, hey, they found this wavelength that does this. But with the laser therapy that we incorporate at the clinic, one of the best things that it does is it helps to speed up your mitochondrial's production of something called ATP, which is what cells use for energy. Now, to do this, that mitochondria needs oxygen. So there's another wavelength of light that helps oxygen dissociate from hemoglobin from blood cells at a much faster rate. So if we speed up production of this mitochondria, which is, I don't know if you guys remember anything from, you know, high school biology, but it's that powerhouse of the cell. That's where our energy is produced for every cell in our body. If we speed up energy production locally, now all those cells that are trying to help heal that injury, they've got more energy to do that. It requires oxygen. We got to get more blood flow there. So number one, it's going to bring oxygenated blood. It's going to dissociate that oxygen from hemoglobin at a much higher rate to get it to those mitochondria that need it to produce the energy. We also have the added benefit of bringing in some more localized blood flow, which will help bring in those nutrients and those building blocks to help heal the musculature tissues, to help heal those ligaments and tendons that normally don't have really good blood supply. That's how that laser therapy works. It's what the photobiomodulation effect with the Class 4 medical laser that we use at the Neo Clinic, that's what it's designed to do, and it does a great job. And because that's the way that it works, there's not this one very specific symptom or one very specific condition we can treat. Because it works that way, we can treat all sorts of different things. I saw a young guy, he's a middle school basketball player actually, but he's pretty tall. He could easily play high school basketball right now. He's probably 6'4". He had a really bad ankle sprain, but we've been using this laser on his ankle and it's already starting to show significantly less swelling. It's reducing that inflammation and he's only a week out. I mean, they showed me some pictures of what it looked like last week when they took him to the emergency room for this thing, how swollen it was. And it's already decreased. He's got ankle bones there. It's not just one big fat foot anymore. We also were treating a patient's, ridiculous symptoms from their neck. They had some neck pain. She was involved in a car accident. And now she's having pain coming from her elbow down into her hand as a result of that accident. We haven't gotten MRIs on her yet, but I know what we're going to see when we get that. She had this whiplash accident. She's going to have a disc herniation there. But we're starting to use this laser therapy on her already. She just had the accident last week. We can do this stuff almost immediately, and it starts that healing process. One of the big questions I get when we talk about laser therapy is, does this thing hurt? Like, am I going to be in there, and is this laser going to burn? No one has really probably had any laser treatments, or they may not be familiar with it. And that's one thing that everybody, they get a little nervous when we start talking laser therapy. It doesn't hurt at all. It's extremely comfortable. It feels almost like a warm massage. And if you know anything about me, I'm a big believer in ice packs. So why do we use this warm laser? The warmth isn't what's actually doing anything, but we have to get enough power behind this laser light so it's able to penetrate deep enough to get to those discs, to get to those nerve roots, to get to the tissue that we're trying to have that effect in. And if you don't have enough power and it's just acting on the surface, it's not going to have the effect that we want it to because we're not treating the tissue that we're looking to treat. That's why it gets warm, because the laser has to be powerful enough to press through there. It's kind of like turning on a light. You can use like a little small LED light to try and make something bright. And those LED lights, they don't have a ton of power behind them. They're not going to get hot. But you can get some of those big flashlights, those big, think of like a spotlight that they shine up in the sky. Those things get hot. You remember, Jake, have you ever touched some of those old light bulbs?
Oh, yeah.
Way hotter. And
especially the track lighting that we used to have. If you reached up in there, man, that was nuclear.
You don't want to change those bulbs right when they go out. No. You want to let them cool down a little bit. And it's the same concept with this laser therapy we use. It gets pretty warm, but we keep it moving, and so it just feels comfortable. Again, no one comes out of there saying, boy, that laser really hurt. Very few instances in my life will I say this is 100%. 100% of people come out of this thing and they say, that felt amazing. I love this laser therapy. We use it every day. There's almost always a line of patients waiting to get into our laser room because it's such a popular treatment, because everybody gets better so much faster when we incorporate that in with the chiropractic care. The adjustments, the chiropractic adjustments where we manipulate their spine and get their joints moving, is designed to help take some pressure off of those nerve roots that are being compressed to make sure that their joints are moving well also. Again, in that patient that had the disc herniation from sitting and she bent down to pick up the keys, those muscles are really, really tight to help protect those joints, to help protect that joint. But now those muscles are pulling on joints that should be able to move pretty freely, and they're not. And if we don't correct that and we don't get those joints moving, those are going to be the areas of injury that we see next. That's kind of how chiropractic care works. If we get your joints moving the way they should, if we take some pressure off of those nerve roots that are being irritated and off of those disc herniations. We get that moving well, and we reduce that local inflammation by using things like the laser therapy, the electrical stimulation. I'm having you use ice packs at home. If we do all that stuff, we get really good results with these things at our clinic. That's kind of how those work. Now, I said I'd talk about some spring cleaning tips. What's the big deal about spring, and what exactly am I talking about? Most of us have been inside all winter. Most people don't like going out and doing a bunch of yard work. The grass isn't growing. The trees don't have any leaves on them. Not a big deal, right? Well, as it starts to rain and get warm, if your yard's anything like mine, it's time to get out there. We got to start mowing grass. We got to start pruning limbs, just getting everything ready for the spring. And what I don't want you to do is jump out there and just start going at it. That's the way you're going to have these injuries. You know, you just jump out on the first beautiful weekend and you're out there all day after not doing any of these things all winter. That's a recipe for disaster. Please don't do that. Start and, you know, kind of take an inventory of your joints. Bend down, touch your toes, slowly start to twist a little bit from side to side. Does anything already hurt? Are you moving well? You know, get the blood flow moving, get it circulating a little bit. That's the first thing you can do, because if you just get out there and you push the lawnmower out and you go to crank it and you haven't really moved at all and you put all that force into your back, that's a pretty easy way to strain those muscles and ligaments in your back. Then it's going to be a lot more uncomfortable as you go through and try and finish, you know, cutting the grass that day. So that's step one. Let's warm up. The next thing, and I can't stress this enough, is take breaks. The saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? That applies here. Don't think you're going to go out and do all of that work all in one day straight through. Give your body a chance, right, to catch up, to relax for a minute. Give those muscles time to kind of calm down and take a break. That's one of the best things you can do, because if you're having to, you know, lift stuff up over your head for 2-3 hours at a time, your neck's going to be sore the next day. But if you can do 30 minutes and then go sit down for 5 or 10, or go do something else where you give the upper back muscles a chance to relax, and maybe you're pulling some weeds in between, kind of a start and stop method. And again, everybody knows this. You wouldn't try and do an exercise and do it for 4 to 6 hours straight with no breaks, right? We'd sit down, we'd take a break, we'd have some water. But when we get working on these projects, most people have this mentality like, I'm just going to work until the project's done. They don't really consider the effect and the toll that's going to have on their body. And I see it every year. You know, I can't tell you how many times spring rolls around and somebody comes in and they just say, hey, I overdid it in my yard again this weekend. It happens all the time. One of the other things is bending. You know, as we start to go get stuff from Lowe's and Home Depot, you're putting mulch out, those heavy bags, 50-pound bags of things. Make sure you're holding those close to your body. The farther away things get from you, again, it just puts more stress on those levers, which are these small joints in your spine and smaller muscle groups. Whereas if you hold it in close to you, the weight isn't felt quite as bad in your back. The other thing is when we twist and rotate, make sure you're using your legs and your hips. Turn your legs. Don't just twist your back trying to unload the truck to put it in a wheelbarrow or put it on the ground. Don't just keep twisting over and over. That's one thing, especially when you have compressive forces, like you have a load of something in your hands, a big bucket that you're carrying. If you can turn your body by moving your feet, that's going to be much safer and put a lot less shearing force on those joints and especially those discs in your lower back. That's another really big one. And again, if you do have any back pain over the weekend, get out that ice pack. Put it on for 10 to 15 minutes every couple hours or so. Make sure you're taking at least 30 minutes off. That will start to help decrease that inflammation. Jake's giving me that sign that I've run out of time again this morning. Again, my name's Dr. Ben McMillan with the Neil Clinic. Our phone number is 850-479-2700. Give Desiree a call. She'll get you on our schedule if you want my opinion about your back pain. Thanks again for having me on this morning, Jake.
Always great to have you, sir. Thank you. The doctor has been in, and now he's going to be out. He's going to go back to work. Thank you for listening today. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. I will be right back with Pep Talk with Jake Walker right after this.